See, let's all stand as we read God's word. Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22 and we'll read verses 39 to 45. Let's read it all together. Can we flash it on the screen, sure? Luke chapter 22 verses 39 to 45. It says here, "And he came out and went as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from the prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow." One more verse, verse 46. "And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you for this time that we can gather once again to worship you. We pray humbly, Lord Jesus, that you cover each and every one of us, Lord, with your precious blood. And may you allow your word, O God, to be preached with clarity and anointing this afternoon, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be the one to minister to each and every heart, O God. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise. Whatever will be done and accomplished today, we give you back all glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now guys, we are now in our second installment on our series, Intentional Discipleship. Last week, Pastor TJ preached about our goal as a church, and that is to engage and equip all of you to become mature disciple makers. Now, if you remember, Pastor TJ said, Jesus' last words should be our first priority. Meaning to say, we should make disciple making as our priority here in Living Word IT Park. And guys, rightfully so. Because if you're a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are mandated by God to go and make disciples. You should understand that making disciples is a command given by God to each and every believer. Now, if you can look at your Bible for a moment in John chapter 12, verse 26, the Lord Jesus has this to say. He said in John 12, verse 26, says here, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servants be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." Now guys, I'd like to underscore two important things that the Lord Jesus Christ said here. He says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Now to the Lord Jesus Christ, serving him means following him. Now today, if you ask a professing Christian how you are serving the Lord, chances are the answers you will get might somehow sound like this. Oh, I serve the Lord in the praise and worship team. Or I serve the Lord feeding the poor, etc., etc. Or I serve the Lord in the ushering team. Or I serve the Lord in the children's ministry. Now guys, these answers are not wrong. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a very specific definition of how it is to serve him. And he clearly said in John 12, 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. So guys, the type of serving that our Lord Jesus Christ is expecting from us is that we follow him. It means we do what he has been doing while he was here on earth. And guys, if you look at the scriptures, making disciples was one of the Lord Jesus' main objective while he was here on earth. And again, if you want to serve Jesus, it means you follow Jesus. If Jesus made disciples, then you ought to make disciples yourself. Now guys, you have to understand that making disciples is not just a mandate given to pastors or missionaries. It's a mandate given by God to each and every believer. Now guys, one of the crucial things that Jesus taught his disciples while he was with them was prayer. Now everybody say prayer. And when he taught his disciples how to pray, it wasn't just through knowledge transfer. It wasn't just through the Lord Jesus Christ teachings. When the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the Lord Jesus himself lived a very prayerful life. He lived by example. And if you look at scriptures, you'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ has a very disciplined prayer life. Now guys, before we talk about making disciples, before we talk about going to the mission fields, we must first make sure that we ourselves, we are walking and following the Lord Jesus Christ as His true disciples. We have to make sure that we are really true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And church, one vital part of being a true disciple of the Lord Jesus is to have a very disciplined prayer life. Now, the Lord Jesus have numerous teachings about prayer, and He Himself lived a very disciplined prayer life. So this only tells us that prayer is very vital in a believer's life. In fact, before the Lord Jesus began His ministry, as what TJ said last week, before He officially started His ministry, He spent 40 days and 40 nights praying and fasting. So you see, prayer is vital, not just in our ministry, but in our very lives. So I've entitled today's sermon simply as prayer, okay? Now let's go to our main passage. Let's go to our text, Luke 22, verse 39 to 45, verse 39, no? It says here in verse 39, can we flash it on screen, sure, every time I say a verse? No? Verse 39 says here, "And He came out and went, as was His custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed Him." Now, I'd like to highlight what verse 39 says here. It says here, it was the custom of Jesus to go to the Mount of Olives to pray. In other translation, it says there, it was regular thing for Jesus to go to the Mount of Olives to pray. Now guys, prayer was a regular thing that the Lord Jesus did. He prioritized prayer and He really made time for prayer. Now was the Lord Jesus Christ busy? Of course, He was one busy person. But if you look at Mark 1:35, the Bible says, "While it was still dark, early in the morning, the Lord Jesus Christ got up to pray." Again, guys, the Lord Jesus Christ prioritized prayer in His life. And if you want to become a true follower of the Lord Jesus, then you yourself, you ought to have a very disciplined prayer life. Now, you have to understand one of the greatest privilege and blessing that we have as a Christian is prayer. But the irony is, we have the tendency to think that prayer is just another religious obligation. We think that prayer is a tedious religious exercise that we need to do in order to please God. And guys, because of this misconception, we sometimes neglect prayer. We sometimes have a wrong attitude towards prayer. As we come before the Lord, when we pray, somehow our heart is not right because we have a great misconception of what prayer is. Now guys, you should understand that prayer is something very, very precious. It's something very precious. In fact, in the book of Revelations, the Bible tells us that the prayers of the saints goes up to heaven and the Lord stores them into golden bowls. You can read that in Revelations. Now, the fact that our prayers are stored up in heaven in golden bowls, that tells us that prayer is not just precious, it is precious unto the Lord. And guys, by not praying, you are actually denying the Lord of something that is precious to Him. Now, you should understand that prayer is not just about yourself. Prayer is not just about your concern, but prayer is about worship. Prayer is about the Lord. And come to think about it, guys, don't you think that we are so blessed that every time we pray, we know that the Creator of heaven and earth hears us? Don't you think that's amazing? Don't you think that's amazing? Now, prayer is not just precious, but it's also something that's very powerful. And just to give you perspective, let me give you this analogy. Now, a miracle is when the supernatural touches the natural. A miracle is when heavenly things is manifested in our realm, in the physical realm. But do you know what's opposite to that? Well, miracle is when the supernatural touches the natural. Prayer is when the natural touches the supernatural. Have you ever realized that? Now, when we went to Israel in last November, Our tour guide told us of this story. He said, there was one time that a rabbi visited Vatican. And when he visited Vatican, he went to the Pope's office. He was invited by the Pope to have a chit-chat. And while he was seated at the Pope's office, looking at the Pope's table, he saw a golden telephone. So the rabbi was quite curious, so he asked the Pope, Pope, what is that telephone? So the Pope answered the rabbi, Rabbi, that golden telephone over there is a phone direct line to heaven. So the rabbi said, oh, is that so? Can I use your telephone? Can I call God? Then the Pope said, of course, you may do so. But let me tell you, that costs $1 million per second. So the rabbi said, how come it is so expensive? So the Pope answered him, well, of course, the moment you pick up that phone, it is not just an international call, but it is an intergalactic call. Okay? So that was what the Pope told the rabbi. So there was now a time that the Pope visited Israel. And the rabbi doesn't want to be outdone by the Pope. So he has his phone there in his table. So he also painted his telephone gold. So when the Pope was there, the Pope was seated there, the Pope also noticed the telephone. So the Pope asked him, Rabbi, is that telephone also a direct line to God? Then the rabbi said, yes, of course. It is a direct line to God. So the Pope asked him again, Rabbi, how much does it cost to call God from your telephone? So the rabbi answered, oh, Pope, when you use my telephone to call God, it is just free. So the Pope was wondering, why is it so cheap if you call God using your telephone? You know, Pope, you have to understand that God is the God of Israel. And if you call him from here, it is just a local call. Huh? And guys, if you think about it, if you just ponder hard enough, prayer is actually talking to God. Prayer is actually having an audience with your Maker. Don't you think that is something very precious? That every time you come before the Lord in prayer, the Maker of heaven and earth hears you. Don't you think that is such a tremendous blessing? Now guys, more than presenting our needs to God in prayer, prayer is also a time where we worship God. It's a time where we build a relationship with Him. It's a time where we will have that intimacy with the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you ever build an intimate relationship with someone whom you do not spend time with? It is impossible, right? It is impossible. You will never be able to build an intimate relationship with anyone whom you do not spend time with. And if you do not spend time with the Lord, how do you expect that you and God will be able to have an intimate relationship? Now guys, over the years in the ministry, yes, I get to know the Lord through the Scriptures. But you know what? It is during times of prayer that the Scriptures become even more precious. It is during time when I claim the promises of God in prayer that the Scripture becomes even more precious. It is during time that I pray back God's Word back to Him that the Scripture becomes even more precious. It is during times that I worship God by His name that has been revealed in Scripture that makes the Scripture even more precious. And my point is this, guys. You get to know the Lord more and more as you spend time in prayer. So prayer is very wonderful. Prayer is very precious. But more than that, guys, to follow Christ, to serve Him means to follow Him. And Jesus Himself lived a very disciplined prayer life. So if you want to be a true follower of Jesus, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got to cultivate a very disciplined prayer life. Now moving on, verse 40. Can you flash it on the screen? It says here, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not fall into temptation. So Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. His disciples followed him. When his disciples reached there, the Lord Jesus gave them an instruction. He said, pray that you may not fall into temptation. Now guys, the Greek word for temptation here in the original Greek manuscript, the word temptation here is the word pyrasmos. Okay? Pyrasmos. Now, pyrasmos doesn't just connote being tempted to do evil. No, every time we think of the word temptation, what comes to our mind is being tempted to do evil, right? Like maybe watching porn or stealing things. But you know, the meaning of the word pyrasmos, although that's part of its meaning, to tempted to do evil, but the greater meaning of pyrasmos is the trials and challenges of life. Trials, challenges, and difficulties of life. So in other words, what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples was this: you guys pray so that you will not fall into your pyrasmos. You guys pray so that you will not fall into the trials and challenges and the difficulties in life. Now guys, I don't have to expound that life is hard, right? I mean, I believe all of us here have our own fair share of trials and challenges, whether it be in the ministry, in our careers, in our business, in our family, in our health. I mean, I believe all of us here have our own fair share of trials. I mean, life is hard. Life is difficult. It's full of challenges. Now, how many of you here think that life is easy? Raise up your hand. Patudlo yung gunimo. No? Life is hard. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to pray. Now, prayer is a weapon against the trials and challenges in life. Now, church, I'm a pastor / businessman. You know what? Over the years, what I came to realize is this. None of these jobs are easy. None. As a businessman, I deal with difficult situations. I deal with difficult things. As a pastor, I deal with difficult people. No? And there are countless decisions that TJ and I, we have to make for the church. There are problems that pop out of nowhere, and worse, they happen at the times when you least expect it. And I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, can relate what I'm saying, right? Life is difficult. Life is full of challenges. But you know what, guys? This should not surprise us. Because in John 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus forewarned us. He said, "In this world, we will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world." But guys, it is given. Life in this world is difficult. Life in this world is hard. So that's why we need to pray harder. The problem is we'd rather worry than pray, right? But the Lord Jesus was very specific. He said, pray that you will not fall into the challenges of life. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Now, some years ago, I was invited into the House of Hope to preach. House of Hope is a Christian drug rehabilitation center. And I'm an alumni of that ministry, no? Now, after I preached in the House of Hope, there was a Q&A session after my preaching. And during the Q&A session, there was a resident there who was admitted to the House of Hope, and he asked me, "Joe, how are you able to keep yourself drug-free over the years? Giunsa man nimo nga drug-free gyapon kahantod karon?" And he asked these questions because there are actually some in the House of Hope who goes in and out. Makagawas, 2 years after, they go back. Makagawas, 6 months after, they go back. So he asked me, "How are you able to keep yourself drug-free?" So I told the person, the only reason why I'm drug-free because is I really pray. I really pray hard. So he told me, mauna na, wala eh, no strategy, no anything, no whatever. And I thought for a while. And all I can say is that my strategy is prayer. Pray, pray, pray regularly. That's why I'm still drug-free. Now, guys, in 2011, when the work here in Living Word IT began to grow, I was happily serving the Lord, doing what I regularly do, leading praise and worship, joining the prayer meeting, etc., etc. So I was just so happy seeing the work of the Lord being blessed here in Living Word IT Park. But you know what? Sometime in June of 2011, after years of being drug-free, after years of being clean, you know what? Out of nowhere, it caught me off guard. The urge to take drugs came back to me. I mean, the craving was really difficult. The urge was really, really strong. I don't know how that happened. And during that time, I was really scared. You know, it wasn't just an ordinary temptation. It went on for weeks. So during the time, I was so scared. I was thinking, if I fail this now, what will happen to the ministry that the Lord have called me to take charge? I mean, what will happen to my children? Will they still respect me? What about my wife? Basig pulihan ko, ilisan ko, lisod kayo. So I was thinking, this is really difficult. Hashtag, the struggle was real. No, it was difficult. Now, as the days went by, the craving intensified. Now, I couldn't sleep properly. I couldn't function well. I couldn't even work properly. I kept on thinking about drugs. Now, there were times now I feel like vomiting. My body would shake. I just don't know where that came from. And in fact, church, I almost blew it during that time, if not for the grace of God. Now, there was one time I was driving. While I was driving, I was shaking and lain kang feeling ba? And I said, Lord, this is it. Mauna gud ni. Pasayloan na lang ko daan, Lord. No? So, what was in my mind, I thought that was it. I'm going back to my old self. So what I did, I drove to my pusher's house. It was somewhere there in Lahog. No? So I went there. Timing pagyod, he was staying outside of his house. So I saw him. Go, Lord, mauna gud ni, paita. So when I went there, I parked beside him. Then I opened my window. I was about to tell him, come on, let's go. But you know what? Praise God, he was the first one to speak. When I opened my window, he said, oh, Joe, ikaw na. Padong naman ko na ka ma-pastor. Kumusta naman ka? When I heard that, I closed the window and I left immediately. I mean, God is faithful, amen? Somehow, he works in mysterious ways, but his timing is always perfect. So guys, during that time, my wife and I, we prayed even harder. There were times when we pray, we held hands, and her tears would fall into my hands. It would wet my hands. And we were just desperately crying out to the Lord for deliverance. I texted Pastor Mel. I texted Sila Bill, Sila Brandon, my fellow MD group members, to please pray for me, pray for deliverance. And I myself, during that time, I was praying without ceasing. And guys, finally, after a month of praying hard, after a month of fighting the urge, just like that, the temptation was gone. The urge and the craving was gone completely. I am still drug-free. Praise God. Now guys, I don't know how the temptation and urge came back during that time. I don't know if it was physiological. I don't know if it was emotional or spiritual attack. But the bottom line is this. God is faithful. I did not fall into that pyrasmos. I did not fall into that temptation. Because people were praying for me. I was praying without ceasing. The Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, pray that you may not fall into temptation. So guys, I encourage you. Whatever pyrasmos, whatever trials, whatever challenges you're going through right now, pray without ceasing. Pray and pray until you see God's answer. Maybe you're having trouble with your ministry right now, or you have difficult relationship problems right now, or maybe you're in financial debt or whatever. Guys, pray, 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 pray. We know that the Lord is a prayer answering God. Amen? Or maybe some of you right here, right now, maybe you're also going through temptation. You pray. You tell your spouse. You don't hide it from your spouse. And by the way, side note lang ha. Guys, if you are ever struggling with anything, especially if you're struggling with sin, don't keep it to yourself. Ang malipay ana ang yawa ra gyud. If you're struggling with anything, share it to your spouse. Share it to the pastoral team. Now guys, I'm so grateful for Pastor TJ because every time I have struggles, I can always text him. He always prays for me. And you know what? Let me just share this side topic lang ha. You know what? Pornography is never my temptation. Never. Never get to in my life that I get addicted with pornography. But last year, early last year, I was having the temptation to look at it. So I couldn't understand, Lord, why like this? Why do I have the urge to look at, have the urge to take a look at porn sites? So I was thinking, this cannot happen. And during that time, the problem was my wife was going through something in her medical checkups. So I was thinking, I can't tell my wife right now, okay? I don't want her to worry about, okay? I think it was during that time she was going through something sad. So I praise God. I texted Pastor TJ, and Pastor TJ was able to pray for me. And guys, praise God. I was once again able to overcome that. And my point is this, guys. If you're going through any struggles right now, don't keep it to yourself. 99.9%, you will fall. So guys, ask for your brothers and sisters to pray for you. Ask for the pastoral team to pray for you. Ayaw kaguol kay dili chismoso ang mga pastor dari, no? So guys, I encourage you to ask for prayers. Now, verse 41. Moving on. When they went to the Mount of Olives, Jesus instructed his disciples to pray. After he instructed his disciples, verse 41, it says here, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. So Jesus went alone by himself to pray. Iyang gibiyaan ang mga disciples, and he went alone to pray. Now guys, I'd like to cross-reference this passage or this verse with Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6, please. It says here, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Okay? While here in Luke, verse 41, Jesus went alone to pray. And in Matthew 6, verse 6, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, if you pray, go alone into your room. Now guys, this tells us that prayer is an act of intimate worship to the Lord. It's a form of intimate worship with God. It's a moment where you spend time alone with God. Prayer is meant to build up our intimacy with God. Now guys, look for a moment, John chapter 17, verse 3. Let's look at John 17, verse 3 for a while. Now, Jesus says here in John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, the word know here in the original Greek manuscript is the word ginosko. And ginosko means knowing someone intimately, knowing someone passionately, as a husband knows his wife. Ginosko means knowing each other deeply through love relationship. And Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Now guys, to most believers, eternal life means being saved from the fires of hell. To some, it means being saved from the penalties of our sin and spend eternity in heaven forever and ever. Now to most, this is the definition of eternal life, which is not wrong. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, he defines eternal life very specifically. And he says, this is eternal life, that they may ginosko you. They may ginosko you as the one true God and Jesus whom you have sent. So for the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life is about having an intimate love relationship with the Father and with himself. That is Jesus Christ's definition of eternal life. To have an intimate relationship with the Father, to have an intimate relationship with Him. And guys, prayer helps us achieve this. Prayer develops in us an intimacy with the Lord, because prayer is an intimate act of worship. Now the problem is, most Christians today, is that they make prayer like a grocery bag, and they treat God like the genie. No, Lord, please do this for me. Lord, please do that for me. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Lord, please do this. Please do that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church, that's not how it should be. That's not how it should be. Because, guys, you should remember, I just learned this from IDMC earlier, that our first calling as Christians is not to expand His kingdom, but our first calling as Christians is to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ means to enjoy that intimate love relationship with Him. Now guys, turn with me now to Psalm 27 verse 4. This is King David speaking here. This is what David said in Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire Him in His temple. Now guys, what David is saying here is, there's only one thing I want. There's only one thing I ask from you, God. There's only one thing I long for. And that is to dwell in your presence. That is to dwell in your house. And to just gaze upon your beauty. To just behold you, Lord. To just worship you for who you are. Now, David was saying, Lord, all I want in this life is to be in your presence. All I want in this life, Lord, is to see how magnificent you are, how powerful you are. Now, guys, this should be our attitude every time we come before the Lord in prayer. Just beholding what the Lord Jesus has done for us at the cross. Just beholding His beauty. Just worshiping Him for who He is. We ought to have that sensitivity of being just in awe of the Lord as we come before God in prayer. Let's not treat God like a genie, church. The moment we come before the Lord in prayer, let's always remember that our primary calling as Christians is to enjoy God for who He is. And again, prayer helps us to achieve this. Prayer is an intimate form of worship. I pressed the wrong button. Gadget lang ha. Okay, again, prayer is an intimate form of worship. Now guys, too many times, we rather seek the hands of God than seeking the face of God. Too many times, we rather seek the hands of God, the work of His hands, rather than seeking His face. Now somewhere in Chronicles, that very popular verse says there, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land." Now God says there, if my people humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then I will hear from heaven. But what? Most of the time, we'd rather seek the work of God's hands than truly seeking His face. And guys, that shouldn't be the case. Now, what the Lord was saying there is that as you pray, have a very intimate prayer life. No, it's not just about asking, but spend time in worship. Spend time in adoring Him. Now, guys, prayer is not just about kanang pangayo ba. It's about having intimacy with the Lord. Now, moving on, verse 42. It says here, as the Lord Jesus prayed, He prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Now, during this time, the Lord Jesus Christ was discerning the Father's will. He was praying for the Father's will to be done in His life. Now, guys, prayer is a time where you discern God's will for you. Prayer is a time where you discern God's will for you. And I like what Pastor Joel said in one of our Bible studies before. And this is what Pastor Joel said. Prayer is not only a time where you talk to God, but also a time where you hear from Him. Let me say that again. Prayer is not only a time where you talk to God, but it's also a time where you hear from Him. Now, church, prayer helps you discern God's will. It makes you discern God's will. So every time you come before the Lord in prayer, as you pray, the moment you pray, the moment you inquire of the Lord, somehow the Lord will impart to your life, will impart to your heart if this is His will or not. Now guys, 12 years ago, while Bill, myself, and I, Yuri, while we were still young pro back then, while I was praying, somehow the Lord imparted to my heart that Joe hosts an evangelistic meeting that will cater to the businessman and career people in Cebu. So as I was praying, the Lord gave me that impartation. So I met with the guys, so we agreed, oh, sige, we're going to host an evangelistic event. So we need someone who will be able to connect to the businessman and women here in Cebu because this is supposed to cater to them. So we agreed on the speaker. His name is Cesar Guy, a very gifted evangelist. Then we agreed that, okay, Cesar Guy will be our speaker. Oh, since we're inviting businessmen and women, let's find a good venue. So we decided on Casino Español. So during that time, everything was booked. The place was booked. And I already called Cesar Guy, and Cesar Guy already said yes to our invitation. So everything was already, kung sabaga, planned out, plansado na. But the problem was, when we presented this idea to our deacons back then, somehow, because we came from a very conservative cessationist church. Now, we presented this idea to them, they turned the idea down. Sorry, we cannot have this. Especially quoting Cesar Guy. Sorry, we cannot have this event because your speaker is not qualified. So we asked them, why is our speaker not qualified? Because your speaker prays in tongues. So I reasoned out with them, he's not going to talk about theology, he's not going to talk about denomination, he's just there to share his life testimony, and he's just there to share the gospel. But to make the long story short, they said, sorry, not approved, you cannot have this. But you know what, guys, as I come before the Lord in prayer, the impartation of the Lord was just so strong, go ahead with this event. Go ahead with this event. So the problem was, right now, I do not have the support of my church, and I have this enormous task that I need to handle. So during that time, we were targeting to invite 200 people for that evangelistic event. And if my memory serves me right, we needed somewhat around 200,000 pesos for that event to materialize, to come to pass. We needed 200,000 pesos to fund that event. So my sister told me during that time, said, Joe, where are you now going to get that money? So by faith, I told her, remember how young pro pa ko during that time. 200,000 is very, dako gani na karon, how much more back then? So I told my sister, since every time I pray, it was a very clear impartation from the Lord that it had to push through with the event. I told my sister, if I have to pay the 200,000 pesos, then I will do it because it's a clear impartation from God. Now, to make the long story short, I asked again permission from the church. So the church told me, okay, you can go ahead if you really want to, but please do not carry our name with it. So we got ahead with the project. We prayed. And then Bill, Brandon, myself, we began to ask some Christians, businessmen Christians that we know, if they have a burden to support. And praise God, when we raised the money, when we pulled up the money, we were supposed to raise 200,000 pesos. We were able to double that amount when that came. So instead of just inviting 200 people to attend that evangelistic event, if my memory serves me right, there were maybe 500 businessmen and women who joined that event. So the event pushed through. And guys, listen to this. I am so happy that I listened, I was being sensitive to the Lord in times of prayer, that it made me push through with that event. Because you know why? During the altar call, one of the respondents of the altar call was my very own father. So guys, prayer is a time where you discern God's will. Prayer is a time where you hear from God. It's not just a time where you're talking to God. It's a time that God will give His impartations to you. Now, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, the Lord is quite clear here. He says, call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things that you not know of. Call unto me and I will answer you and reveal to you things that you do not know of. Now, guys, prayer can be a time where God reveals His personal will to your life. There are things in our life that we not know of, that it can only be revealed if we continue to seek the Lord. The Lord tells us, seek me with all your heart and you will find me. Now guys, maybe there are things concerning your life right now, relationship, whatever, that you're inquiring of the Lord. Guys, spend time in prayer. The Bible tells us, my sheep knows me and my sheep hears my voice. God is alive, amen? And He's alive forevermore, amen? How many of you believe that God can speak to His people? Amen. Amen. Now guys, 8 years ago, Michelle and I went to the prayer mountain. It was just another ordinary day, but the day before, we have decided that we're going to go to the prayer mountain to spend time with the Lord. Somehow, within us, I don't know if it was anxiety or excited me, but there was something within us when we went to the prayer mountain. Now, when we reached the prayer mountain, we decided to separate. No, okay? We wanted to spend time alone with God. So Michelle got into her own cottage. I got into my own cottage. And there, we spent time with the Lord individually. We were just there seeking the face of God. You know what? While I was praying, while I was worshiping the Lord, boom! It was right there that the Lord confirmed my calling to become a pastor. And the Lord was very specific. I have called you into this ministry. It was during times of prayer. So I said, yes, Lord, whatever your will is, okay. Ikaw ang tawag, Lord. And after our prayer, guys, when Michelle and I got back together, I didn't even have to tell her. While we looked at each other, I already knew that the Lord also spoke to her. If my memory serves me right, I just asked her, did God tell you? She said, yes. And she said, yes, I know you are being called. So guys, we were in both separate rooms. We didn't talk about it. But it was her time with the Lord, my time with the Lord, and the same impartation that the Lord has given to us. I mean, the Lord's confirmation came quite fast during that time. The Lord revealed His specific will for me while I was in prayer. The Lord revealed His specific will for Michelle and my life while we were in prayer. I will never forget this. Side trip lang. After Prayer Mountain, we went to SM. While we were in SM, nigakus kalit si Michelle nako, ana yung ulo. Ingko nga naman ka. She was looking at the television and she said, di na ta ka-afford anak, eh, magpastor na ka. Anyway, those were sweet moments with the Lord. No? And again, guys, my point is, you will be able to know and discern God's will through prayers. But however, let me just balance this out. We are not mystics, right? We don't believe in those kinds of things. And my point is, we have to determine God's impartation. We have to determine God's voice from our imagination. No? We should never mistaken God's impartation. We should never mistaken God's voice to our own imagination. And the only way for us to prevent such things is that we have to be grounded in scriptures. We have to be grounded in the Word of God so that we will know that this revelation is from the Lord. It is not against scripture. In fact, it confirms what the scriptures say. Okay? So guys, prayer is a time where the Lord imparts His will to us. Now, verse 43. While Jesus was praying, while He was praying, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Verse 43, the Bible tells us, and there appeared to Him an angel from heaven strengthening Him. There appeared to Him an angel from heaven strengthening Him. Now, guys, prayer makes the supernatural manifest in the natural. In other words, prayer makes miracles happen. Now, angels are heavenly beings. Angels are heavenly beings. But when the Lord Jesus prayed, the powers of heaven was made manifest here on earth. Prayer makes miracles happen. And guys, if you look at scriptures, there are some miracles that are actually preceded by prayers. And one of them was feeding of the 5,000. You remember that, right? Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish. Now, before Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish, what was Jesus doing? He was praying. Now, when Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, when he was outnumbered by so many enemies that want to annihilate the kingdom of Judah, there was nowhere he could go. There was nothing he could do. There was not such a vast number of enemies. But when Jehoshaphat prayed, his enemies killed each other. Now, Peter, before he raised up Tabitha from the dead, what was Peter doing? He was praying. Now, guys, at times, yes, prayers precedes miracle. And prayer causes miracles to happen. Prayer causes supernatural things to manifest. In 2013, when I was diagnosed with cancer, when the doctors giklaro na gyud nila sulti nako, yes, Joe, it's cancer and you have to be operated, you have to go through a procedure. So during that time, again, I was scared, I was anxious, I was very disturbed. But church, I remembered this verse, that if I pray, the powers of heaven can be manifested here on earth. So during that time, filled with anxiety, filled with whatever, depression, you name it, it was there, anxiety, depression, hadlok, it was all there. But I came to realize also that that was God's will for me during that time. And this exact passage came to my mind. Jesus prayed, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. As he was praying, an angel from heaven came and strengthened him. So I also told God, Lord, if this is your will for me, then let your will be done. Then I prayed to the Lord, Lord, there is only one thing I ask. Claiming this same verse here. Lord, if you're going to let me go through this, please let supernatural peace protect me. And after I prayed, guys, I think I already shared this years ago. I was asking the Lord, Lord, I know this is your will. I know you're letting me go through this storm. But one thing I asked, Lord, please, please cover me with your peace. After I prayed, guys, I was praying in my daughter's room during that time. While I got out of my daughter's room, there was just unexplainable peace that just enveloped me. I mean, I could almost feel the peace. I don't know how to explain it. The peace of the Lord was just poured out to me from head to toe. That my countenance changed, my aura changed, so much in me changed. And for me, guys, that was nothing short of a miracle. A miracle doesn't have to be kanang bam, 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 glorious kaiba. There are times that the Lord works miracles in your heart. And that was what I experienced. There was no hint of being afraid. And for me, that was such a great miracle that I experienced from the Lord. I mean, just a few weeks ago, Katrina experienced a miracle. The doctors told her, operahan na siya. I mean, TJ and I, we were prepared. We were praying for healing. We were praying for fast recovery. But actually, some of the young pros were praying for a miracle. And God answered their prayer. Instead of operahan, di na kailangan operahan. Again, guys, prayer makes miracle happen. And if I remember Sister Marie, about her gallbladder, batotij, no? During that time, Sister Marie had a gallbladder condition that was irreversible. Supposed to be dito siya mawala if she won't be going through a procedure. Again, during prayer and fasting in the prayer mountain, correct? Days after that, when they went for a checkup, it was gone. It was healed. Now, guys, prayer causes miracles to happen. Now, reading the last verses, verse 44 to 46. It says here, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise up and pray that you may not fall into temptation. Now guys, this is where I want to strike the balance. Yes, the Lord Jesus prayed. Yes, he prayed hard. But his situation remained the same. His situation remained the same. He was still going to be crucified on the cross. He was still going to be separated from his Father. And guys, there are times in life that the only way out of the storm is through the storm. There are times in our life that the only way out of the storm is through the storm. There will be times in our life that no matter how hard we pray, our situation will remain the same. But let me say this to you. Although our situation will not change, although our situation will remain the same, 101%, we will always come out victorious. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, guys, in the beginning of this passage, the Bible tells us when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, his disciples followed him, right? Although his disciples followed him, the problem was the disciples did not follow him all the way. Now, while Jesus prayed earnestly, While Jesus prayed intensely, the disciples were sleeping. Now, what happened after that? Now, after the Mount of Olives, Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. The disciples hid in fear, leaving the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But the Lord Jesus Christ went on to become the Savior of the world, went on to defeat sin, went on to defeat death. He went on and became victorious. Now guys, continue to pray. Continue to pray. Even if it doesn't change your situation yet, continue to pray, continue to pray. Because guys, I believe with all my heart that we will always come out victorious. Amen? And prayer will always enable you to go through anything in spite of anything. Amen? Now guys, let me encourage you with this as I close. Now my brother, elder brother, got saved in 1984. He became a born-again Christian in 1984. And when he was saved, okay, since he's the eldest of our, among the cousins, eldest among us by the third generation, he's quite close to my ama, to my grandmother. And when he was saved, one of his burden was my grandmother. He was praying for the salvation of my grandmother. So he was saved in 1984. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. In 1994, 1 decade has passed, nothing has happened. Every time the gospel is shared to my grandmother would turn it down. But my brother continued to pray, claiming the promises of scriptures, believe you and your household will be saved. So my brother continued to pray, continued to pray, continued to pray. Now guys, let me tell you this. 1984, he began praying. In 2001, my grandmother had cancer. My ama had cancer. And she was already on her deathbed. And she hasn't received Christ yet. But my brother never gave up hope. Continued to pray. Continued to storm heavens with his prayer. One time, finally, my grandmother asked my mom, because it was my mom's time to take care of my grandmother in the hospital. My grandmother asked my mother, she said in Chinese, she calls my mom Dai. She said, Dai, how do I pray to Jesus? And right then and there, my mom led her, shared the gospel to her again, led her to prayer. She surrendered to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guys, 2 days later, if I'm not mistaken, her very last words before she left was, "Tu Yaso, Lord Jesus Christ," that my grandmother passed away. Amen? My grandma, my elder brother started praying in 1984. It was not until 2001 that he has seen the answer of his prayer. So whatever you're praying for right now, guys, I encourage you, we serve a living God. Amen? He is a prayer-answering God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, church. Lord, we just want to thank you for your great reminder, Lord, this afternoon, Lord. Salamat kay Lord. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us at the cross, Lord. Indeed, we remember, O God, when you died at the cross, Lord, the curtains, Lord, has been torn, O God. And Lord, we can now come before your very presence, O God. We know, Lord, that you hear and answer our prayers, O Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for this privilege, O God. So we pray, O Lord, that we will never take prayer for granted anymore, Lord. Forgive us, O God, that many times we have a wrong motive in praying. Forgive us, Lord, that many times, Lord, we neglected praying. Forgive us, Lord, that many times, O God, we prayed selfish prayer, Lord. But from now on, Lord, help us, Lord, that through our prayer life, Lord God, we'll get to know you more and more, Lord God, that our relationship with you, Lord, will become more and more intimate, Lord. Lord, teach us, O God, to abide in you daily in our lives, Lord, till the day, Lord, we will see you face to face, O God. So we bless your holy name. We give you thanks and praise. And Lord, whatever has been done and accomplished today, we give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor, Lord. In your most precious name we pray. Amen and amen.